My name's Greg. I'm a believer. I'm in recovery for alcohol and drugs. So, I haven't done this before, so bear with me if I seem a little nervous. I was born and raised in Southern California during the 1970s. My mom and dad met when they were 15. They got married after high school and had me in their early 20s. I was the oldest in my family, and I have two younger sisters. I had a good childhood. School was easy for me. I had a lot of friends. We played sports, rode bikes. We swam, and we hung out at the beach. Summer has always been my favorite time of year. I have great memories of family camping trips and falling asleep at night with baseball games on the radio. Growing up, I always knew my parents loved each other, and I knew that they loved me and my sisters. I also knew something was missing from our family. I did not realize it at the time, but the thing that was missing was a connection to God. We never went to church. I was never taught about Christ, the Bible, or faith. I was expected to follow the rules and do the right thing, but I was left to do it on my own power. My life was fairly innocent through grade school. Things started to change when I went to middle school. I went from a school with 90 kids in my grade to a school with around 500. Instead of playing football at recess, kids were smoking, fighting, talking about getting into girls' pants. I wasn't ready for it. Girls were a mystery to me. I was shy, and I had no idea what to talk to them about. I had my first drink at 13. When it was my turn to hit the bottle, I still remember the bitter taste, followed by the warm feeling in my stomach. I was able to relax, and after a few more drinks, I ran into a girl from school, and it felt natural talking to her and showing her affection. From then on, I drank whenever there was a party or anything social. I started smoking weed around this same time. I used alcohol to connect with people, while weed helped me to check out and disconnect. When I was 15, I met my first serious girlfriend. We went to different high schools, but we had mutual friends. One Friday night, we ended up riding around town in the back seat of a friend's station wagon. From then on, we were a couple. We did everything together. We would skip school, take walks, play cards, go to the beach. We went to concerts together, and we partied together. My parents had met when they were 15, so I just assumed that her and I would get married, have kids, and grow old together. After a few years, our relationship turned into a cycle of breaking up and making up. We were immature and didn't know how to handle conflict, jealousy, or when we didn't have time for each other. I handled the pain of this broken relationship by drinking more, expanding my drug use, and hanging around with other girls. We always found our way back to each other, but the reunions were short-lived and the innocence was lost. It was around this time that I learned that the man that I thought was my grandpa was actually my mom's stepfather. He had married my grandma when the kids were young. I also learned that he had abused my mom throughout her childhood. I could not understand how my mom could live her life like nothing had happened and let him pass himself off as a lovable grandfather. I told her I'd kill him if I ever saw him again. I never did see him again. I was becoming disillusioned with life. The system seemed like it was broken or corrupt. People seemed like they were selfish, and life seemed like it was one disappointment after another. I decided if this was what life was about, I was going to be as corrupt and selfish as everybody else. I quit caring about school and lost interest in the idea of going to college. I became angry and reckless. I got arrested several times in high school, and my circle of friends shrank to a small group of people who liked to party. I tried LSD for the first time when I was 18. It was a life-changing experience. For a brief period of time, I saw into the spiritual world and got a glimpse that there may be more to life than meets the eye. After graduating from high school, a friend and I moved to Colorado. We got jobs working at a ski resort. The resort rented us an apartment on the mountain, and we worked 4 days a week, and we had 3 days a week to ski for free. We partied from the time we woke up until we fell asleep. I sold weed in order to have a free supply, and I was using LSD and magic mushrooms on a regular basis. I had some powerful experiences on psychedelic drugs and started to become aware of the spiritual battle between good and evil. For the first time in my life, I was aware of a power greater than myself. I didn't realize it at the time, but my parents had started going to a Christian church and were praying for me. Eventually, things fell apart for me in Colorado. I got arrested with an open container and possession of weed. The judge let me off with a small fine, but shortly afterwards, I got into a fight and lost my job. And losing the job, I also lost the apartment and had to figure out what to do next. It was during this time that I began to realize that my way of life always seemed to result in conflict, broken relationships, and isolation. I decided to go home and maybe reunite with my girlfriend, maybe try going to college, definitely try to find a better way to live. When I moved back home, I wasn't planning to quit partying. One day, my dad pulled me aside and told me I was welcome to stay if I was doing something productive with my life. He told me if I was going to keep partying that I needed to do it somewhere else. I took what he said to heart. I could see that he had a strength that was different. It felt like the God I had been wondering about was looking at me through his eyes. He could see right through me and was encouraging me to go another direction. Not out of fear or anger, but out of faith and love. I started reading the Bible from cover to cover. I wanted to know God. I wanted to find a source of strength to help me deal with the corrupt system full of selfish people. Eventually, I got baptized and gave my life to Christ. Things didn't work out with my girlfriend, and we had to let go of the relationship. It was painful, but necessary for both of us to grow up. Over the next few years, the Lord took away my desire to drink and use drugs. He gave me hope, and he gave me a future. One verse that had a big impact on me in those years was Joshua 1:9, where the Lord told Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I learned to be less selfish and grew close to God. I ended up graduating from college in Northern California, marrying my wife, and starting a career in the timber industry. By the time I was 30, we had 3 kids and owned a nice home in Northern California. The Lord blessed me with an education, a career, a family, and a home, things I could not have done on my own effort. I wish I could tell you that we lived happily ever after, but that's not how the story ends. In Luke 8:14, Jesus talks about the seed that was sown among the thorns. He said, "The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature." My walk with the Lord started with good intentions. I had found the truth that was missing from my childhood, and I had faith that if I gave my life to Christ, he would make it peaceful, successful, and free of conflict. I didn't know how to handle the stress and the conflict of a marriage, a career, and raising kids. My wife and I argued frequently about money. Our oldest son was defiant and strong-willed from birth, and I struggled to find the balance with him between discipline and love. I worked in the woods with some of the most hard-headed people in the world. My life seemed like it had constant conflict at work and at home. Eventually, at the age of 35, I started drinking again. Just a beer on Saturday nights. After all, I was an adult now with a career and a family. I knew the Lord, and I should be able to drink like a gentleman. One beer on Saturday night turned into hard liquor on Friday and Saturday nights. My wife and I would drink together on vacations and had a lot of fun together. I coached my son's baseball and basketball teams when they were young, and we had a lot of fun times as a family, but we also moved around for my career every few years. In our 27 years of marriage, my wife and I have lived in 14 different homes in 7 different towns. I was always looking for a greener pasture, thinking that if I could just find the right job or the right community, then my problems will go away. By 2008, our kids were becoming teenagers and my job was becoming more stressful. I started drinking heavily on the weekends and developing a temper. My wife started to threaten me with separation if I didn't get a handle on my temper and my mouth. This caused me a lot of fear, and I started to see her as a threat to my future rather than seeing her as my wife and my partner. During this time, I became more isolated than ever and dove deeper into the bottle. In 2012, I took a job in Southern California thinking that getting back near the family and the town I grew up in might do us all some good. I didn't know much about the job when I accepted the position, but it turned out to be an office job with three guys who didn't like me and I didn't like them. I traveled with this job and started drinking during the work week. My anger and frustration were off the charts. I was lonely and I wanted a healthy connection with people, but I didn't know how to connect with other adults except when I was partying or working. In 2014, I met a woman at work who also didn't fit into the office environment. We started taking walks on our lunch breaks. She knew I was married, and I convinced myself there was nothing wrong with the friendship. Eventually, we became romantic outside of work. When my wife found out, it broke her heart. I quit seeing the woman and went to counseling with my wife, but eventually I resumed the relationship. When my wife found out the second time, she was angry and threatened to ruin my life. I told her that I would do whatever it takes, even if it meant leaving the job or moving out of the area. She told me that I needed to leave the job and go back to work in the woods where I belonged. So in 2015, I took a job in Eugene, Oregon. We agreed I'd go alone and get to know the area, find a place for our family to relocate. I found a one-room shack on 5 acres outside of town where I lived alone for a year and a half. The room was about 15 feet by 25 feet with a fridge, a stove, and a sink. I had to walk across the property to use the bathroom in the big house. It was a lonely existence, but for the first time in 23 years, I was free from conflict in the home. I drank whenever I felt like it. I took off my wedding ring and lived like a bachelor. During that time, I closed down a bar in town every Friday and Saturday night. I started smoking weed again and experimenting with magic mushrooms. I made friends in town and I spent time with ladies without telling them I was married. I also went home to be with my family about one weekend every month. I was living a double life. Galatians 6:7 states, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction." In the spring of 2016, I met a woman at the bar who was unique and interesting. She had a powerful personality. She was connected in the drug world and could get anything. We ran into each other several times and developed a friendship. We ended up taking a trip up to Washington to see an old hippie band play a show. Around 4 in the afternoon, I ate a piece of chocolate that she said had mushrooms mixed into it. I started hallucinating and had an intense stomach ache almost immediately. I don't know what the ingredients were or how much she gave me, but I wasn't worried because I trusted her. Between 4 o'clock and 10 o'clock that night, I ate everything in a sandwich bag that she gave me and followed it up by swallowing a piece of paper soaked in LSD that she put in my mouth. By midnight, I realized I was in over my head. The full effects of everything I ate kicked in late in the night and made me feel like I was disintegrating. The hallucinations were more intense than anything I had experienced before. I spent the night wandering around the desert trying to walk it off. When the sun came up the next day, I returned to the car for the drive home. The lady who gave me the drugs told me that her religion and drug use were satanic. She told me that I made a mistake going on the trip with her. When I asked her why she gave me such a heavy dose, she told me I needed to have the doors of my mind blown off their hinges and that I was going to be sorting things out for a while. I don't know if she did this because she thought I was a cop or because I had not told her I was married until she had feelings for me or because she just wasn't a good person But it didn't matter at this point because I was going to be spending, I was going to spend the next year trying to survive the effects of the trip, which didn't go away. For the next year, I was dizzy and disoriented. I experienced hallucinations and brain tremors. I had trouble sleeping and experienced paranoia, not knowing who I could trust. It felt like I had been poisoned with something that destroyed my nervous system. In the aftermath, I started to talk to my wife honestly. I realized that repentance and God's mercy was my only hope of regaining my sanity. I begged God in prayer to heal me, to forgive me, and to take away the lingering effects. There were pastors who anointed me with oil and prayed for me. It felt like my prayers were going into an empty void, unheard and unanswered. I was shattered, hopeless, and I didn't see how I could survive what I had done. My biggest fear was that the damage I had done was permanent and irreversible, both to my mind and to my marriage. One night when I was laying on my face asking God for help, I perceived a response. The answer to my prayer was, "You have to go through this. You can't run away from it. You can't go around it. You can't escape this. You have to go through this, and I will go through it with you." In that instant, I understood that I was experiencing chemical, physical, and spiritual consequences of my actions. I had overdosed on psychoactive substances, and there was a consequence, but the fact that I had a connection to God gave me hope. I called anybody who would listen to me looking for help. When I couldn't sleep in the middle of the night, I called a crisis line. The person on the phone coached me how to look around my room and identify different shapes as a way of distracting myself and getting out of my insanity. I talked to mental health counselors, church pastors, anybody who would listen. One of the churches in Eugene invited me to their CR program. I went to CR and started a step study. I was getting so much out of my first step study that I started a second one on a different night. I noticed that as I worked the steps and listened to other guys tell their stories, I forgot about my own problems for a while. It was a temporary break from my insanity. The overdose experience was the best thing and the worst thing that ever happened to me. It humbled me. It stripped away my denial and my pride. It brought me face to face with the cause of all my problems, myself. It got me to be honest with God, with myself, and with all the people in my life. I've been sober 3 years now, and most of the symptoms I experienced have improved or gone away. I take seriously Matthew 7:24, where Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." I don't want to be the foolish man. I attend CR at Rolling Hills every Wednesday. I help lead a step study. I've been seeing counselors on a regular basis. I've made amends to my wife and will spend the rest of my life making a living amends to her. I apologize and I ask for forgiveness when I'm wrong, and I'm learning to forgive others when they hurt me. It hasn't been easy. I created a lot of wreckage and caused a lot of pain, but God is in the process of restoring my marriage and my family. If you're new to CR, I would encourage you to give the program a chance. It worked for me when my pain outweighed my pride, and I was willing to be honest. Reach out to somebody who has experience in recovery and listen to what they have to say. Get into a step study and work the steps. Read your Bible and pour your heart out to God in prayer. The Lord hears your prayers and He has the power to heal. The Lord will walk through this with you. Finally, from Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. Thank you.